thing. And that principle is the need for fellowship, how much we need to be together. And the other thing I can't see is 10-point type. Tried for 12, but kept going back. But the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." And by the way, in Scripture, when it speaks of hope like this, it's not something we wish for that could possibly happen. It's the confidence of something that is destined to happen. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I want to talk this morning about attending the assembly, coming together for worship. First of all, we should note from Hebrews that it is not an option. It is a command from God that he has given us in his word. "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." You know, it's relatively easy for us to do that. All we have to do is wake up, put on some clothes, and drive to church, to the building. We are the church, but we drive to the place where we have agreed to meet. And there are other places in the world where that's not possible in an open fashion. And yet, people are willing all over the world in nations of great persecution to take the risk to meet in secret because they feel that the gathering together is so vastly important. They literally risk their lives to meet. You know, failure to attend the corporate worship is not new. You notice that the writer of Hebrews says, "as is the habit of some." The Hebrews were experiencing persecution. Their neighbors were belittling them and making fun of them. Their businesses were suffering. They were being rejected in the marketplace. The Jews had turned them out, and they were experiencing a form of persecution. It wasn't costing their lives, but it was making them feel ostracized, and it was inconvenient to meet. And so some of them had formed the habit of not assembling together. It's not new. This is as old as the New Testament. The neglect of the assembly. It's not a COVID problem. COVID hasn't helped us. In fact, it's made a significant impact. And across the land, churches have shrunk in size and attendance because people have not gotten back in the habit after COVID. I do not want to deny that COVID was a legitimate viral problem, nor will I pretend to say that it was totally a political ploy. It wasn't. Clearly, there was a disease. Some of you had it, and politics didn't make you feel poorly. COVID made you feel poorly. But friends, you have to recognize that there was a diabolical plan behind the process that affected the churches and congregations across America. And kudos to John MacArthur, whose fellowship absolutely refused to bend the knee to the government of California or of the United States, and purposed to meet regardless and to do so with freedom. Very few churches took that kind of courageous stand. And yet, he insisted that they not be pressured by government regulation to fail in the assembly of believers. Friends, when people around the world put their life on the line to come together, we have no excuse for failure to do so. Amen. It is commanded in Scripture, and we ought to pay heed. Regular attendance is essential for spiritual growth and development. You cannot grow spiritually by growing on your own. You need the assembly of believers. We're going to see that as we go through some other scriptures. But we need the assembly of believers to stimulate our growth. Notice that the writer of Hebrews says, consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Now, he's not talking about working towards salvation, but he is talking about the fact that we need to be willing to do good deeds, things that are appropriate, things that are beneficial, things that promote growth and development and reach the community. And we need one another to make that happen. We need the encouragement of other believers. I have family members who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm not necessarily even speaking of my immediate family, but I have extended family. They profess Jesus Christ. They listen faithfully to ministry programs on the radio and music. They sing along. They listen to sermons and never darken the door of a church. One of the reasons that one of my family members gives is, he says, I played golf with those pastors. And he said, I have zero respect for them. Friends, I want you to know something. Don't make your spiritual life rise or fall on me. Don't hold me in that place where it determines your relationship with God. How utterly foolish. I'm just a man. I make mistakes. I struggle with issues. I have changed my theology through the years because I learned that the things I originally thought were not biblically sustained. And for some, that's bewildering. You believe, no, I don't believe that. Well, you said you did. Well, I've changed my mind. I'm thinking differently these days. Don't build your spiritual relationship on the basis of what I do. I realize that's contrary to what Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ, and I endeavor to be an example to you. My goal is to be an example for you. You ought to be able to follow me the way I follow Christ, but you ought not to depend upon it as though it were the difference between your relationship with God or not. Just because pastors on the golf course cheat, swear, and show up and drink away their poor scores at the local tavern in the golf clubhouse does not mean that they are the examples of the flock. We have to have a different mindset. So why is it important that we meet together? One of my family members has said this, and in some ways, I'm hard-pressed to significantly disagree. The church today is irrelevant. In other words, it has no contribution to make to society. It's irrelevant. It's out of touch. It's lost its influence. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. But shame on us if it's true of us. Shame on us that we would lose our influence and not make a significant difference in our community. The fellowship of believers is, first of all, the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Notice the first part is speak. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You say, "I don't sing so well." Well, that's no excuse not to sing.
Amen.
Croak out a joyful noise. Whatever it takes. You know, ever since I had heart surgery and I was intubated for an extended period of time, they had some difficulty getting my heart going again, and then I was in a rhythm that was dangerous, and they were concerned that I might code, and so they kept me intubated for about 36 hours. My vocal cords have never been the same. In fact, I told Rowena while we were on our getaway last week, I said, "You know, one of the things I'd like to do is take voice lessons. I used to sing all the time. Now I just kind of croak. I was trying to sing this morning. I was driving in listening to a Sunday morning inspiration on XM radio. And they were singing old gospel songs that I knew by heart. Could sing you every word. And I was just kind of croaking them out. And I thought, Lord, this is awful. This is terrible. But nonetheless, I made the effort, and perhaps someone can give me exercises and help me to get back the resonance in my singing, because I want to sing to the Lord. I want to make a joyful sound, not a mournful sound, but a joyful sound. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's not supposed to be an isolated incident with just you. It is good to sing in your devotional time. It is good to sing hymns. It's good to have your devotions with a hymn book and a Bible together. I have both on my iPad. But, having so said, we are designed to sing together in the joyfulness of worship. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Giving thanks. Do you come and give thanks to God? Does the Sunday morning event cause you to recollect the things that God has done for you and cause you to give thanks together? Now, I want you to do an exercise with me this morning. Will you do that? I'm going to ask you to do something here. And those of you that are watching on YouTube, I want you to do this too. I want you to stand up where you are, stand up, and I want you to turn and greet someone who's not a member of your family. And if you've been praying for them, tell them I'm praying for you. If you haven't, don't lie. But greet one another and welcome Carol. Would you do that? And those of you who are watching on YouTube, do the same thing. Question. Frank's got the idea. Is that encouraging one to the other? Is it a blessing? How did those of you on YouTube fare with that exercise? You see, you cannot participate in body life on TV. As valuable as it is, as important as it can be, and for those who were genuinely shut in or caring for a family member that's infirm, I'm so grateful that we have this venue, that we can put this live on YouTube and you can see it. But it is not a substitute for the gathering of one another together. We need each other. I watch the smiles on your faces as you turned and greeted one another. Isn't it a joy to see other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ? Good to see you today. If it's true, I've been praying for you.
Amen.
Yes. Caring for one another. I told a friend yesterday, I said, I was thinking of you the other day. And she said, I think of you nearly every day. I drive by the church and I think about you. And wouldn't it be so much joy if she could be present and I could hear that face to face? I was grateful for that testimony yesterday, but what a joy it would be to come Sunday and have someone say, I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. How are things going with you? Is there something special I can do for you? How can I pray for you? Do you know how encouraging that is? Of course you do. And not to do it is to feel lonely and isolated and by yourself. Friends, it's so important that we gather together. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the passage that Scott read for us, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of service. Why? To the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. How can you have unity in isolation? Everybody can be happy with themselves. And blind too, by the way. But you need each other to have unity. That's how that develops. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature person, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, coming together, having unity, being built up in the faith, the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers ministering the Word of God to the body of Christ, they were given that we would no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. You know what happens when you're by yourself? When you're isolated? You are susceptible to getting off the mark. You are susceptible to becoming deceived. You are susceptible to false doctrine. If you're in a church fellowship and having degraded myself at one point, I've got to build myself up for a moment, where the Bible is preached faithfully and sound doctrine is taught, errant thinking can be corrected. Amen. And you can challenge one another. We have a fellowship after the service. That's not just so you can add some calories with donuts and fruit. That's so over a plate of goodies. You can sit down together and talk about things and challenge one another. Somebody says something and it's like, what? Where'd that come from? We need to be able to challenge each other, to serve each other, to admonish one another, to encourage one another. Otherwise, we are liable to be deceived. But speaking the truth in love. How do you speak the truth in love? Some of you speak the truth, but it's missing something. What's wrong with you? It's not very loving, is it? Understand that we are all human. We're all in process. The Holy Spirit is working on all of us to transform us into the image of Christ. And every one of us has weaknesses. And every one of us has strengths. And they're not all the same. And by encouraging one another and speaking truth in love, we can build one another up. We're to grow up in all aspects to Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what? By what every joint supplies. Did you know this morning that you bring a valuable contribution to this fellowship? You do. No one can take your place.
Amen.
You bring a valuable contribution. There's something that God has given you that other people need. And the way the gifts work of the Holy Spirit in His fullness is designed to enable you to minister one to the other what's lacking. And what a blessing it is when every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body, why? To build itself up in love. You know what should happen when visitors walk in these back doors? They should say, wow, these people really love each other. Wow, I want to be a part of a group like that. They really care. They love one another. That should be the thing that stands out. You know why I say that? Jesus said to his disciples, this is how all men will know that you're my disciples. That you love each other. It's that love. It's that willing to cover a multitude of sin with grace. It's that willingness to encourage, to pray, to bless, to be gracious and kind. It's like, wow, this is special. This is really special. I want to be a part of that. We should make people hungry to be Christians because of what they observe when they're among us. They should recognize that. And they should say, man, this is good. I want to be a part of that. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Friends, we cannot possibly demonstrate this in isolation. We have to be together. That's how it works. We have to be together. For the body is not one member, but many. But there should be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot this morning, but as I look out at you this morning and across the room, I see some that are hurting. I know you are. You're suffering. And the privilege of caring and suffering and hurting with those who are hurting. Did somebody get a pink slip and dismissed from their job? They're hurting. Have you ever been there? Can you put an arm around their shoulder and say, I'm really praying for you. I know this is a hard time. I know you're going through difficulty. I want to encourage you. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll bring you through this. We need to hear things like that. If you lost a loved one, Thursday morning, Mike and I, Mike Hine and I, were asked to lecture to the new recruits at the firehouse and to introduce them to chaplain ministry. And so I went, and the two of us shared the role in ministry of chaplain. And Mike talked about presence, how meaningful it was often to just simply see the chaplain on the scene. Don't have to say anything, just have to be there. He has a relative that was on the New York Fire Department, was 100 yards from one of the Twin Towers as it came down. And he said, it meant so much to me to look up and see one of our chaplains in white turnout gear and a white helmet standing by one of the engines. He said what an encouragement it was to see the chaplain. And Mike explained that sometimes we go to a death call, a full arrest has gone bad and the person didn't make it. An overdose has gone bad and the person is pronounced. There's been a tragedy. And Mike said, what do you think we say to them? Sometimes there's nothing we can say, but we sit with them. We suffer with them. We let them know we're there. Sometimes that's all you can do. You can't touch the hurt of the heart in grief from the outside. Only God can comfort. But sometimes it helps just to be there. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Because it's not all weeping. Some people get a promotion. Some get married. Some have a new baby. Some have something fantastic happen. Do we celebrate it? Are we excited with them? That's a part of the life of the body, that we are together. No division. Care for one another. If one suffers, all suffers. If one is honored, all rejoice. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, and we're right back there to apostles, prophets, and teachers to hold us accountable for sound doctrine. Jesus prayed in that high priestly prayer of John 17, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed for our unity. He prayed for our togetherness. He prayed that we would be a picture to the watching world of the unity and the love that exists between Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And it is our responsibility in Jesus to manifest that unity, that love, that devotion. John begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning, or in beginning, was the Word, and the Word was face to face with the Father. The Greek is pros ton theon, pros, toward, moving toward the Father, face to face with God the Father. We need to manifest that unity face to face, drawing to one another, encouraging one another, blessing one another, building up one another. And friend, if you're listening by YouTube this morning, I want you to know we love you. If you cannot be here, I'm so glad you can tune us in and watch. But if you can, you cannot get at home the whole meal. You're only getting a part of it. You need to come and be a part of the body. You need to come and be with us. We need to build each other up. And whatever it takes, you need to make that effort. We've had a habit because of this COVID pandemic. We've had a habit of non-assembly. You need to build a new habit. You need to change it around. You need to come. You need to be a part. You need to build one another up. We were designed to be a body, and friends, bodies don't all have the same part. If we did, you know what we'd be? An amoeba. We'd just say, the scripture would say, you're like an amoeba. You just kind of loosh and gush wherever. No. Actually, amoebas have parts. That's how they oosh and gush. But anyway, we're a body. Some are eyes, some are ears, some are mouths, some are feet, some are hands. We're a body. We need one another. We're not a head. Jesus is the head. The Holy Spirit is the Lord who governs and guides, but we need one another to be whole. Otherwise, we're not whole. And we need the encouragement and the blessing one of another. Father, thank you for your word. Remind us that one of the basic principles of the Christian life is the assembly of ourselves together, that we might together manifest your glory and your blessing. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in other parts of the world that risk their lives to assemble. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us when we take lightly the privilege we have. Build us up in a body that is held together every part by love, and that demonstrates the glory and fullness of your Holy Spirit by ministering as you have enabled us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Going to take me a minute just to leave from there.